The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
All about new looks today. The new look first place Bengals, the new look can't score Chiefs, and whether our new looks at the Lakers' dysfunction and college overtime rules are growing pains or real problems. All with this panel and a new great-looking host. Let's go! In the Around the Horn draft, producers selected the best Italian available. Sorry, Monica. That's why I got the call.
Pretty sure they just went through Tony's closet. Hey,
Johnny Cash. All right, let's start it off. We start with the biggest wow of the weekend, the Chiefs. How about this? A 27-3 loss to the Titans, their second huge win in 6 days. That's Tennessee. Who had Derrick Henry with more passing touchdowns than Patrick Mahomes? Bob, was it you? I don't believe you. Two more turnovers for Mahomes and another no-show for the defense after the games. Mahomes had this to say about the process.
It's been rainbows and flowers and awesome for these last few years, but whenever you want to build something substantial and you want to build something great, you're going to go through parts like this.
All right, Woody, your whole career has been about rainbows and flowers. So what do you take away from what Patrick Mahomes said here?
Gibberish. I mean, really, I don't think he knew what he was saying when he said building something substantial. They supposedly built that 2 years ago. And they're trying to sustain it, and they're not doing it. They have more turnovers already this year than they had all of last season, and they're last in the league with Jaguars with 17 giveaways, which are more than anybody else in the league by three or four. I just think it's all over that team. Specifically, defensively, I think that Patrick Mahomes is trying to make up for the defensive inequities they have. The cornerbacks are no good whatsoever. Their safeties are playing a lot worse than they have in the past. Clark and Jones are supposed to be two of the best pass rushers in the league. Combined, they have 3 sacks. They really haven't been factors. So the defense is giving up, Frank, and I know you know this, they've given up more than 27 points in all but one of their games this year. This is a bad defense, and the offense is not doing much
either. All right, do you remember what you said on Friday's show? I was listening. What did you say Derrick Henry was going to do? He was going to beat the Chiefs or he was going to lose? What did you predict? Do you remember? I remember. You picked them to win. My God, Woody. Come on, remember that. Israel, let's go. What do you think?
The old noggin. Look, I think the other part of, if you look at the statistics and say, hey, what's wrong with the Chiefs? Well, their defense has given up 6 more explosive plays than their offense, okay? And that says a lot about both sides of the ball. It tells you how bad the defense is, but honestly, it tells you that really, when they were even won the Super Bowl, you were saying, okay, can they overcome a defense that might not be that good? And yes, obviously they could because the offense was that good. But teams are finding a ways to bracket Tyreek Hill, sort of keep him out of plays, a lot of over-reliance on Travis Kelce. Edwards-Helaire is not even there. We haven't mentioned him yet at this point, and he's supposed to be, even when he is there, hasn't been an explosive back, really. And so you put all those things together, and Patrick Mahomes has too many things to say, hey, this is what's wrong. And so he just puts it together and says, hey, we're going through it right now. But there's a lot of things that they're going through, and it's not going to be fixed by, let's say, next week. This is sort of a season-long project. They have to clean up the protection. They have to clear up the defense. They have to clean up the mistakes. And a lot of the sort of luck that Patrick Mahomes might have had early in his career with those interceptions are now turning into interceptions, and the Chiefs, not even the Chiefs, can get away.
All right, Monica, a couple of years ago, we're talking about can Patrick Mahomes go down maybe at some point as the greatest quarterback of all time. What has been the problem? He makes them go, and he hasn't been going.
Well, I don't think what he said was gibberish at all, Frank. I think that it's been sort of, I hate to use this word, but it's been kind of easy for him up until this point. And so now teams have finally figured out a way to catch up with the Kansas City Chiefs, who have been the standard in terms of winning. You look at the way defenses are now playing them. He's seen 2 safeties 81% of the time. The next closest quarterback that has seen that in terms of guys playing deep and taking away the deep ball is at 70%. So people are completely hip to what the Kansas City Chiefs do, and they want to force them to be patient and play the long game, which, quite honestly, he hasn't had to do up until this point in his career.
All right, we can get Bob Ryan to recite every quarterback in Chiefs history from Len Dawson to Patrick Mahomes. We're not going to do that. But, Bob, what about the problems with this team right now?
Well, first of all, I applaud his erudition for this little cute little quote. Yeah, a cute little quote reminded me of Al McGuire in Seashells and Balloons. This is a very simple analysis. The defense is horrible. It's been horrible all year. It's been our topic, exhibit A, topic A conversation all year. And now, meanwhile, the focus is back on the fact that they haven't drafted for defense in the last few years. They've drafted for offense. Yes, as Woody pointed out, they brought in the two guys to rush the passer, and they're not getting the job done. But and also, we had placed Patrick Mahomes on an absolute pedestal above all others. Well, fact is, he's still very good, but he's not that higher than six or seven other guys that we're going to talk about today, I'm sure, before the day is over. And one other thing is that the offensive line has not been able to protect him. And Yogi Berra once said that if you ain't got a bullpen, you ain't got nothing. Well, in football, if you ain't got protection, your quarterback ain't got nothing.
Hey, if you're going to quote Yogi Berra, you're going to get points. All right, Woody, how do you view the Titans right now, the team that you picked? You don't remember picking them, but you picked them. How do you view them?
Well, I think they're going to run away with that division and be in the playoffs right away and probably go a long way and possibly be a Super Bowl team because they have defense, which we talked about the Chiefs don't have. They have the best running back in the NFL. They've got in Tannehill a guy that I think just continues to get better and better. I mean, he had a string yesterday, 10 or 11 straight passes, which meant the Chiefs had bad defense, but he was also hitting on it. I love the Titans. I thought I picked them Friday.
All right, Izzy, what about the Titans, the winning team from this game?
They're a team with a plan, and it seems like it's going to work. Obviously, you know the running game, Ryan Tannehill, fourth quarter comebacks, you can rely on him. He's got more since he's gotten to Tennessee than anybody else. And look, you talk about the defense as well. They only blitzed Patrick Mahomes one time and got four sacks on him. They seem to be, now that might say a little bit more about the KC offensive line, but they seem to have all the elements and good coaching and a great game plan. I would say Derrick Henry, you know, maybe at the course of a 17-game season might sort of fall off. But no, because he's Derrick Henry and he's a beast.
All right, there were some surprising results yesterday. How about this one? A 40-burger. The Bengals went into Baltimore and dropped 41 on the Ravens. Burrow to Chase is becoming a problem for the entire league. Look at him go. The defense holding Lamar to a career low in points. And after the game, these Bengals with a swagger not seen in Cincinnati since the Ocho Cinco days. Yeah! All right, Bob, you remember when Ken Anderson was the quarterback for the Bengals. Is it time to take this team seriously? It's another point.
Augustana, Ken Anderson.
Right.
Okay, the Bengals. You're damn right you take them seriously. Now, this was a game, though, that they needed to prove to the world how good they could be because among their previous conquests were the Jaguars and the Lions. So you almost don't count them in your mind, even though they count them on the record books. Okay, they have got, in addition to the fact that Burrow is clearly a great young star, the most breathtaking new pass receiver of the last several years. I mean, this kid is frightening. Remember he was dropping passes in exhibition? What was that all about?
Yeah.
Was he just teasing people? Jamar Chase?
Rope-a-dope.
Anyway, you have to like the Bengals. Just remember last year, he wasn't there. Burrow was hurt. And now he's here, and you can see what difference it makes.
Monica, I thought a win for Cincinnati would put them on the map. Do you agree? Do you think that this team has arrived now?
I agree, and I have to personally apologize to Jamar Chase because I thought they should have taken Penei Sewell because I didn't want to see Joe Burrow on his back more. However, when you look at this team, the arc of this entire story is incredible. Burrow has talked about not having the opportunity to see the Ravens a second time because of the injury last year. He absolutely salivated this time. The last time he played the Ravens, he was sacked 7 times. This time, he showed up and his team had his back, getting Lamar Jackson 5 times.
You get a point for admitting that you were wrong and you're apologizing. I like that. Izzy.
Oh, wow. Thank you.
What about the Bengals?
I mean, well, they're still wrong. So if you want to give me some points here, because look, I mean, this was a 17-13 game that they trailed at in the second half here. Okay, this is a banged up Ravens secondary, and you saw how many tackles Chase broke on that one long touchdown. So yeah, I'm not so certain that they're ready for all of this. You know, I think they just took advantage of a team. Lamar Jackson had a couple of deep passes that if he would have connected, and you know, he's capable of missing those passes. So I think the score is a little out of control, and let's slow down a little bit on Burrow to Chase being the next Montana to Rice. But you know, if they're in the conversation of a good team now, as opposed to a team that we weren't sure about, okay, they're in the conversation.
He invoked Montana to Rice. Woody, what about the Bengals?
Oh, Frank, you failed to remember that I picked the Bengals to upset
that you remember
the Ravens.
That he remembered.
Yeah, of course I did. And the reason why is we're not paying much attention to Mixon. He doesn't have the gaudy sort of statistics that other running backs have this year, but he is being steady all along. He's had over 100 yards a couple of times. He's been healthy. That's been his problem in the past. When you combine Burrow and Mixon and Chase, you can take Chase to the bank as a great wide receiver in his second year.
There it is. Chase that bag. All right. Sunday Night Football was a quagmire. Did you see this? What was this game doing on my TV on Sunday night?
Oh,
Colts
boy.
Pulling away late thanks to a 3 second half Jimmy Garoppolo turnovers. After the game, when Kyle Shanahan was asked if he'll stick with Jimmy G as the starter, he said, quote, "I would guess so." Then when I asked the producers if they'll stick with me as the host, believe it or not, they had the same reply. Izzy, forget about me, but what did you hear from Shanahan?
Well, the same thing he's been speaking, or the same tone he's been speaking about with Jimmy G since the beginning of the year. He's clearly not sold on him. And after this game, in which, yes, he had a calf injury or something that was bothering him, but Jimmy G said it didn't affect him. So if you look at that performance, even despite the weather, yeah, you feel like you shouldn't be confident in that guy. And you got a guy you picked in the top three. So, yeah, of course, you want to lean his way if Trey Lance ends up being healthy.
Monica, you're making a face. What do you think of what Izzy said? What do you think about that game?
I'm inclined to agree with Izzy. That game was, woof, that was ugly. But I will say, I don't think that Shanahan would break the news that he's going to make a switch to the press to us in the press conference. So if it comes, which there are some legitimate qualms, I don't know what word I wanted, but there's some legit reason to think that it would be Lance up.
Bob?
How about the flip side possibility, which is that I know things about everything here that you guys don't know. I think there's a reason why he's hesitant to anoint Fields just quite yet. I mean, Lance, excuse me, just quite yet. And that's that, period.
Yeah. You know what, Bob? So you're saying that the coach is in practice all the time, so maybe he sees what's happening as opposed to us. That's a fair point. Woody?
I'm going to give Kyle a break here. Lance would be the quarterback already. However, he got hurt
right.
in his one start, and we don't know whether he's able to come back. And then so why would you, if you're a coach, get caught in a situation where you're saying, oh, I'm going to make a move, and then the guy you're going to make the move to is not going to play? So he may be stuck with Greffalo. So there
it is. See how the scoring works here. We try to make everybody happy. Woody, Izzy,
trophy.
Monica with 11.
I'm not happy. You're failing.
How am I failing? I'm doing the Tony. I'm walking and I'm talking.
I'm only happy I'm when
walking.
I have a big lead.
He walks backward. Then when he walks backward, does that? Walking and
I
talking.
I think you should use a mute on Izzy.
Buy or sell. I'm going to sell some of these guys.
Around the Horn is presented by DirecTV Stream, part of Happy Hour.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, coming to you from the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17.
We have a World Series. The Braves and the Astros both finishing their championship series in six games for the Braves. It's their first World Series appearance since 1999. That's a little hard to believe. For the Astros, it's home field advantage and their first World Series appearance in 2 years. You know, that whole cheating scandal that they never got penalized for. Forget about it. All right, Woody, your guys in Vegas installed Houston as the favorites. Is that how you see it?
I tried all day to figure out a way for the Braves to win this series, but I couldn't.
Trying helps.
They're right in Vegas. You can go through it. I mean, they're even in the infield. Astros have the advantage in the outfield and catcher, in relief pitching, and I like their starting pitching better. They are accustomed to playing with a DH. Atlanta's not. And the most important thing, I think, overall is they're hitting in the postseason 360 with runners in scoring position and striking out only 21% of the time and averaging 6.7 runs per game.
All right. Izzy, you were making faces during that entire scouting report. What do you think?
Yeah. Because I can't get quite over those first four starts from the Astros in the ALCS. Like, if the Red Sox have any success hitting with runners in scoring position early in that game, it might be a sweep by the Red Sox here. So, yes, I think the Braves have a chance. But given what Woody said there with the Astros and their clutch hitting, you know they're going to do it. You're just kind of hoping the Braves do it. So I would lean at it.
Monica, what about the Astros as a favorite?
I do know that baseball is wonky and unpredictable, so I wonder if the Astros can keep cashing in with two outs and getting themselves out of some sticky positions. I think the Braves have a chance just by virtue of you got to play the game, but it's hard to argue against the Astros. And I think another factor that's going to matter in this one is Dusty Baker. He seems to have the incredible hand on the pulse of his team.
Wonky and unpredictable, that's Woody's middle name. Very well done. Bob Ryan?
If this were being played on July 30th, I'd say, yeah, it's going to be a sweep. It's not. It's being played with the one team having won 44 of its last 66 games. That would be the Atlanta Braves. That infield is tremendous. Each one of those guys has 25 or more homers. The bullpen is good. You watch Matzik here tonight?
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with Will Smith. I'm sorry. They got a real chance. I think it'll be a very good series.
All right. The Lakers, they finally got their first win of the season last night against the Grizzlies. Before that, a tumultuous first two games. Friday night, we see tensions boil over on the bench between Anthony Davis and Dwight Howard. Look at Anthony Davis pushing Dwight Howard down. Howard said they squashed it right there. AD said they talked about it and it's over. Izzy, buy or sell that all is good with the 1-2 Lakers?
I just assume that was an argument about the all-time top 75 well players done. And why Dwight wasn't on it and Anthony Davis was. But, you know, here's what I don't believe it was nothing, but what I do believe is that it's not going to be a problem as the season goes on. Like, I don't believe Dwight Howard is going to be the reason, or their relationship with Anthony Davis, is going to be the reason why the Lakers fall apart if they do. There's a lot more technical reasons than that.
Monica?
I'm not alarmed by it. I think as a society, we need to do a better job of acknowledging disagreements and moving forward. They were getting their butts kicked, and Anthony Davis in particular was struggling defensively. I'm sure Dwight maybe took it a little bit too jovially. AD didn't take too kindly to it. I'm not making a big deal out of this. They're fine.
Bob, you're a big Dwight Howard guy. What'd you make of this whole mess?
Yeah, well, I would tend to think that that Anthony Davis isn't the first person to take exception to Dwight Howard's defense at all. And I would think that there's got some precedent in practice before this. I doubt this is an isolated between the two or between anybody else. I think they're going to have a very rocky season.
Woody, what about this mess in Lakerland?
On a team with that many large egos, if you think about it, they're going to continue to have problems, particularly the way they've started the season. I think they're going to be at each other throughout the season. Chris Howard and AD don't get along.
Meanwhile, you didn't even mention that Carmelo Anthony moved into ninth place on the all-time scoring list. That's your guy. Speaking of nine overtimes. That's right, nine overtimes for Penn State and Illinois in the final score.
Yikes.
20-18. That's because these are not your father's overtime rules anymore. After two OTs, get this, the teams exchanged two-point conversion tries, missing 10 straight times. After both teams converted in the eighth overtime, Illinois won it in the ninth, a walk-off in the ninth, just like in baseball. Monica, we've seen more than enough of these new OT rules. Buy or sell nine, count them, nine overtimes.
Contrary to popular opinion, I'm actually going to go ahead and buy this. It was painful, it was ugly, but I think it's more of an outlier than a norm, and it's one of the things that makes college charming.
I'm trying to say that painful and ugly is my middle name. Bob, what about nine overtimes?
As we say in the street corners here in Boston, that was a farce, absolute farce. I won't ever want to see it again. And by the way, put me down. There was nothing, anything ever wrong with a tie.
Woody, you agree?
I'm just still dealing with Monica saying that was charming, that was fun, that was entertaining. No, not at all. Nine overtimes? Aren't you worried, Monica, at least a little bit about player safety, that they're playing for another 6 hours for another game? No, change the rule. Start to five. You get four plays to try and score a touchdown. Take out the kicks and everything else.
Izzy, nine overtimes. What about it?
Few things more funny than when Frank Isola aggressively questioned something, like when he dropped a hang tough on Mike Wilbon, and this 20-19. Like, that's what I saw these two, 20-19 and nine overtimes do not match. Like, what was everybody watching here? Also, I didn't know the rules were changed, so hey.
Woody, you gotta mention Carmelo Anthony, I'm sorry. How you don't do that? Izzy, Nelly, whatever your name is. Thanks for joining us. Monica and Bob Ryan, there we go. I love when Bob gave us the Boston accent. I want to hear Marcus Smart, Paul Pierce. These two, coming up.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Around the Horn is presented by DirecTV Stream, part of Happy Hour.
It's Monica, Bob, showdown time. Best video from the NFL weekend. You see this? The moment Mike Evans realized the touchdown ball he had just caught and given to a fan in the front row was actually Tom Brady's 600th touchdown. In the end, the fan reportedly accepted $1,000 in team merch for the 600th ball. Monica, is that a fair trade for you?
In hindsight, Cranky Frank, I know that I have the opportunity to make this observation. It's not a fair trade, but in the moment, I kind of understand how he gets roped into that.
Yeah, that's logic. I like that. Bob?
$1,000 worth of merchandise is not only stupid, it's almost obscene. What you should have gotten was a $1,000 certificate at Burns Steakhouse. That's what he should have gotten.
Oh, I like that. Obscene. Very, very good. All right, check out how the Warriors pranked Klay Thompson. You see this? And his exclusion from the top 75. Make it actually the top 76 list. He was a good sport about it, and he wore this jersey around practice. Bob, is fair or foul what they did to Klay Thompson?
Totally fair. It humanizes them, makes people realize they like to have fun just like you and me. And by the way, Klay, I voted for you.
Ooh. Monica?
I, too, would have voted for you, Klay, if anyone asked me. And it's fair.
Now, that's street cred, Bob. You got to vote the top 75. That's it. Take the win, Bob.
We've announced the team, and many people are unhappy because their favorite player didn't make the team. I understand that. But just don't say he was snubbed. Nobody gets snubbed. I vote for these things. I know how it works. You have hard decisions. Grant Hill didn't make it because he was snubbed. Bob Lanier didn't make it because he was snubbed. Izzy's pal Dwight Howard didn't make it, though he didn't deserve to, because he was snubbed, okay? Hard decisions, that's all. Hard decisions.
We got snubbed today. Monica got snubbed.
Hi, pal.
Izzy. We'll see you tomorrow, folks. Mo Salah, 3 goals yesterday.
Happy Hour is presented by DirecTV Stream.